In New York City, there's an old boarded up gas station located on Hudson Street. The entire perimeter is sealed by a 12-foot high chain linked fence. And inside it is a dilapidated garage with a few white delivery vans parked around it. Along the sidewalk is an old rusting gas pump, with its last sale still on the dials. The last time it was used, 9.87 gallons of gas cost $3.65. And because this is New York City, the chain-linked fence is covered in signs. The last time I walked by this gas station, there was one sign in particular that I noticed. On this giant old white sign, in big black letters, said, "Unapproved parkers will have the air let out of their tires and their license plates removed." Now, I actually have no idea if it's even legal to do that, but it's quite a threat, isn't it? I can totally see myself driving on Hudson Street and thinking, for a moment, I finally found the last available parking spot in all of New York City. I pull in, thank Jesus for giving me the spot, and then I look up and see that sign. Those words are saying, in no uncertain terms, just don't. Don't park here. Don't interfere. Don't get in the way of the people working here. Because if you do, there will be trouble. That don't is sometimes exactly what we think about when we hear anyone in Scripture use the word commandment. Commandments can sometimes be God's version of a big white sign with big black letters that simply says, don't. And we think this because the word commandment is dominated by the Ten Commandments that we once learned in Sunday school or confirmation class, or that we saw cross-stitched and hung on a wall in our great aunt's home. Don't have any other God but God. Don't take God's name in vain. Don't murder. Don't cheat. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't desire something that belongs to your neighbor. Now, there are some commandments that are not don't related, like remember to keep the Sabbath, to give that day fully to God, and to also honor your parents. But the don'ts outnumber the do's, and that ends up giving the word commandment an essence and a flavor. A commandment from God is seen, consciously or unconsciously, as God telling us not to do something. Commandments are God's way of creating boundaries for us, fencing us in, so to speak, so that we can stay on a straight and narrow path that will lead us to God. The thinking goes, if we stay within the boundaries God sets up, we will be okay. When we follow the rules, we show God and Jesus just how much we love them. And if we show God the right amount of love, then God will fully love us in return. The God of the don'ts will shower blessings on those who listen and will finally answer all those prayers that sometimes go unanswered. When the word commandment becomes a word that only means don't, then the God who speaks those don'ts becomes a God who cares only about what you don't do. And a God who cares only about what you don't do isn't the God Jesus is talking about today. For Jesus, commandments are not about the don'ts. The commandments are always a do. And commandments are never fences that keep us on a straight and narrow path that eventually bring us to God. Rather, because God is already alongside us, the fences which hem us in are torn down by a love that breaks walls and never builds them. So to understand Jesus and the word commandment, we need to remember a passage in John that never shows up in the three-year cycle of readings we use in worship. In John chapter 12, just two chapters before today's reading, Jesus is giving his last public speech before John's version of the Last Supper. A mixed crowd of many different ethnicities is gathered around him. Jesus is teaching, preaching, and showing signs of who he is, but not everyone believes him. There are some that do, but they refuse to share this publicly because they are afraid about what others might think. Instead, they remain quiet. But Jesus doesn't hold their quietness against them. He refuses at that moment to judge them. Instead, he talks about his purpose, about his mission, about his goal to save them. He's there to love and to show everyone who God is, because seeing Jesus is seeing God. To see how Jesus loves, how Jesus heals, how Jesus embraces and prays and talks to everyone, even those who are his enemies. That's who God is. Jesus is telling the world exactly what God says and showing everyone how even a cross can't stop God from saving them. All of this, Jesus says, is the Father's commandment for him. This commandment for Jesus isn't a don't. It's a do. It's a live a human life, love like God does, tell the world just how much it means to God, even though this will lead to the cross kind of commandment. And Jesus, in chapter 12, verse 50, calls this kind of commandment eternal life. Commandments are more than don'ts. Commandments are a way of life that embodies God's love. When Jesus shares his last public speech, he's telling everyone that love is more than just a feeling and more than just being kind. Love is a way of life that is willing to sacrifice itself so that even a stranger can live and thrive. And today, when Jesus is in the middle of his long speech to his disciples, telling them that Jesus will be with them, and they'll never be orphaned, no matter what tragedy befalls them or him. The commandments Jesus points to are centered in a deep and abiding love that even death can't overcome. When we turn God's commandments into a series of only don'ts, we sin. We impose limits on God's love that simply do not exist. We forget that we have, through God's promises, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus with us forever. And it's this Spirit that empowers us to change these commandments of don'ts that we think are focused only on limiting what we do in our lives, and instead see how God's commandments invite us to help the person next to us thrive. Instead of holding signs with big black letters telling others what we're going to do if they get in our way, the Holy Spirit guides us to take down our signs of don't and instead help others become the people God wants them to be. This might take some work on our part, and it might cost us some time, some money, and force us to break out of our comfort zone. But this is something we get to do because we are loved. We are chosen. We are, through our baptism and through our faith, part of God's holy family. We are not orphans. We have Jesus. So let's act like we do. Amen.